we present Derek Jacobi as the King and Carolyn Backhouse as Shahrazad in Tales from the Arabian Nights. Episode 5, Hamza's Dance. To delay the final dawn that threatens her life, Shahrazad has entertained the king with the nightly telling of stories, first gaining his interest and finally his love. But her hopes that this might be enough to save her life have been dashed, and once again she turns back to the tales in an effort to delay what now seems inevitable.
Once upon a land no longer known, three sons of a sultan vied for the hand of a princess from a neighboring kingdom. The sultan, anxious to avoid any enmity between them, sent each son forth into the world for a year and a day, with the pledge that whoever found the greatest marvel in the land might claim the hand of the princess in marriage. After many adventures, each found a wonder worthy of the task. Hussein, the eldest, a magic carpet. Yunus, an ivory spyglass. And Ahmed, the youngest, a charmed apple that could cure all illness. But on their eventual return to the palace, and at the proud display of their accomplishments, through Yunus' spyglass, it was seen that the distant princess had been taken with a strange malady, and with much alarm, on Hussein's magic carpet, the brothers swiftly flew to the neighboring kingdom, keeping close Ahmed's charmed apple, which they were certain would save the princess's life. Is this a story you wish, my lord?
It was my father that first tutored me. How to pay court to the sky with mere sail and wood. And see how it responds. Of simple cloth we make a priest for the wedding of air and water.
So, my king, why ask for a story? On such a perfect day, surely we should put fancy to rest.
He would ask of me. A child of a dozen years. Does the wind drive the sail, or the sail pull the wind? Neither, he would then tell my puzzlement. It is sight that moves them both. Why did I ask you for a story? Because, Shahrazad, you have become my reason for all beginnings, and why I no longer wish their end. It is not your voice alone, more what its sound does to your sight.
My king, what I have come to feel, I think of naught else. It is like that for you also, I dare to believe.
This moment, you have flowers for eyes.
They are the blooms of burial.
And the princess of the story. She did not die, I hope.
The princess was saved. For the juice of Ahmed's apple became a river to her life, carrying her away from the region of forgetfulness, back to a life regained. But now the Sultan's dilemma was greater still. Since all three marvels had been of equal aid in the saving of her life, which son now was to be favored? So it was decided that each would shoot an arrow from the castle wall, and that which travelled furthest would proclaim the victor. Hussein was the winner, and the two remaining brothers, Yunus and Ahmed, hid their heartache and left their homeland. But of the two, the younger, Ahmed, remained the more perplexed. Each of his brother's arrows had been found, but of his own, there had been no trace. He could not rest till he had found its landing place. Yet all his wandering was in vain. And finally, there came a time when the tiredness of both heart and body caused him to stop. Leaving his horse to roam, Ahmed threw himself to a cold earth, despairing of any hope beyond oblivion.
The night approaches, sir. I lay upon the ground, unsheltered.
Who is it that speaks to me?
You seem forsaken. By yourself, I wonder, or by all others?
It might be either.
Better you are at an end. There is more room in a broken heart. I led your arrow, knowing that you would follow. Reason might well have taken you along its fancied course. But faculty brought you here.
Who are you?
I am Peri Banu, daughter of the great djinn Kizandabar.
May the Prophet protect me, then you are not human.
All harm is brought upon you by your own kind. Yet your greatest fear is reserved for those you see as different.
I have heard strange tales of djinns.
And will again, Ahmed, of another place. Fear not, good sir. No harm will come to you. For in my life, I open a space for your safekeeping. And, if you should consent, will make of you a sovereign of your dreams. Join now the procession. It will take you beyond all expectation, and there your life will be born anew.
Three seasons had passed since the younger brothers first left their home, and at the palace the Sultan grew ever more concerned for their welfare. And to lessen the growing fever of his mind, he one day summoned a sorceress, and from her heard a story he had not guessed.
My sons were steadfast to their father, and Ahmed strongest of the three.
Oh, power is a hungry beast, Lord, and ever feeds on others' meat. Your youngest plans betrayal. It is the throne that he seeks, and with it your death.
But what of Hussein and his good and faithful wife? They, surely...
They alone of all your kin remain true and should be honored.
What should I do?
Send out messengers to all corners of the land. Invite the scheming Ahmed to the court and there confront him with your knowledge. This is my advice. Good bird of mine, take this message to my master, the Prince Hussein from the place beyond the rivers. Tell him I have done as he commanded. His father is now assured of his younger brother's treachery. And I shall further guide his way as he commands until he comes to rule all kingdoms that are known.
But I have been happy in the forest. Why should I return to my father's home?
When first you found me in this place, I promised you that your dreams would be fulfilled. Do you not remember?
My dreams are here with you, Peri Banu.
Your father's kingdom will be yours. That is your fate. But not as others propose. It'll be given, not taken. And then, if you feel the same for me as you do now, Peri Banu will tell you what she does wish.
I would have perished but for you.
Do not think that life retained is always such a gift. for others. We shall need to make of it a burden for this scheme against your better interests and those of the realm. The time has come, Prince Ahmed, when you must meet another of my family.
And into the forest clearing in which they sat, there spun a figure. Not strange, nor yet familiar. Not tall, nor short, yet readily seen as either. What it was supposed, it became always other. In truth, it was the remedy for all presumption, that others might come to know that what is seen is no more than what is thought.
This is my brother, Hamza, confuser of all expectations. He will accompany you on your way back, that those you meet shall always question what once was thought their certainty.
And so it came to be. One early morning, Ahmed took fond leave of Peri Banu and set out on the road back to his father's castle. And with him went this Hamza. And wherever Ahmed looked, no longer was he sure what thing looked back. And on the third day of the journey, he suddenly found himself with human company.
Fear not the flight of simple feather, good sir. It brings you best of greetings from the sorceress of the wild.
I am glad to meet a fellow traveller, old woman.
You are Prince Ahmed, younger son of the Sultan.
How do you know that?
I have to tell you that your father plans you death.
No, old woman, I know my father well. There has never been anything but love between us.
Shall I prove my words?
How can you prove the inconceivable?
The message your father sent to every corner of the kingdom was a snare to bring you back into his keeping. Not care for a younger son, but more. Oh, what makes that sound? It is as if I am afraid for no reason that I see.
What had been a familiar world now took on a different face for the sorceress. Where once she had seen triumph at every turn, now there was only failure and the ending of her ways.
I'm to believe your words because you're my blood? This is what you ask?
Why do you doubt me, Father? What have
Enough!
I done?
It is plain you seek my downfall. And to betray a sultan is to betray both king and realm.
I am granted no defense.
I do not trust you, Ahmed. I dare not. The greater sacrifice will be mine. You shall die by the axe. And I shall watch. That will be my punishment. For first giving you life.
And if I prove my innocence?
Guilt is already proven. Do not insult me with your denial. The word of a sorceress cannot be. What is that sound?
It need not cause alarm.
It seems to enter me. This is some. Head becomes a spinning place. Where once was strength, faintness seen. A ruler should be wise and firm. Yet if he's not, what shall he do? he turns to others. Not simply for guidance given, but more to name their insight as his own and so seem the wiser. I'm not an unrighteous man, but weak of blood and heart. I'm not a rightful man to rule. What made me see?
He is a friend of mine, father, by name Khamsa, and he has danced for you.
Ahmed, tell me now your true intent in being here.
It is simple. I have a father whom I love and wished to see again.
Do you swear this to me? In all honour? No, do not answer. I already see it as the truth. I was told differently and foolishly believed. Find and bring to me the sorceress of the wild. Speak, wretch!
I have ever been the faithful servant of my king, good sir.
You turn a father against his son. That is your loyalty.
You are betrayed, most noble sir, and by a
son. Take this wretch and scatter her to all horizons.
I speak true, sir. It is only that it is not this son.
Who then, wretch? Speak.
Your eldest, sir.
Hussein. Would you make all sons traitors?
Ask then the one that stands before you, young Ahmed. He has the gift of knowing what is spoken true. Ask him, sir.
She speaks the truth.
Hussein? He is your master?
He binds me, sir. The magic carpet he inherited draws to it the jinn of the far mountains, and they are powerful beyond compare.
Then why does he concern himself with such as you?
It was my milk that fed your children, recall. You, yourself. And through that all gained a measure of the wildness that I am. Your eldest son sees this as a threat, for he wishes that power to be his alone. Only with the death of all his kin can he gain the prize. And I am as bridge to that ambition.
Then he must perish.
He will not, sir. He has the protection of the jinn. He cannot be slain or even approached against his will.
Even by a brother? If it is our death he seeks, then surely he will welcome me.
I forbid it.
You will not win otherwise, sir. Prince Ahmed alone can meet what others cannot even see.
And that will keep him safe? I ask if that
he
will...
He has the best chance. That is all I say.
When last we met, young brother, your face was as some gathering sky. I had gained what you had lost, the hand of Princess Noor, and you were left without.
But now you look more certain.
That is good. Be seated at my table, and we will eat together.
Am I to eat also, good Prince Hussein?
Find the kitchens, they will feed you.
She will eat with us. Without her knowledge of the path, I would not have found you.
She is a faithful servant, it is true. Stay then, old woman, and listen to what your betters have to say. With pleasantries aside, tell me what brings you to this place.
Brother, I come to ask of you the truth.
A long journey for such a simple thing. Ask on.
Tell him, old woman.
It were better said by you, sir.
She has said that you plot the death of all your kin to gain a power that was never solely yours.
If that were true, Brother Ahmed, surely you would be foolish to come here at all. Sadly for you, she has told the truth.
No, the jinn obey our power, Prince Hussein. We bring a magic of our own.
They only honour me, old woman. You think I do not know of your Hamza? He has no power here. The walls of this castle are as a boundary, guarded by the jinn. Nothing can cross or leave without their permission, and that, in turn, rests with me, their master. Fools! Did you think you came here to win?
It was not your defeat I sought, brother, but your friendship. Why speak of death between us when neither has real cause to harm the other?
I make the cause, brother. This day, both you and this old woman shall feed the creatures that gather in the roof above your heads.
Prince Ahmed, stay! Stay! They first take those that flee from them in fear.
She is right, brother. If you are willing victims, then they shall make you wait your turn. Come, little things. Come! Feed!
I take the jinn upon myself. Come into me. And in the well that is now my coming end, all of you shall drown.
And into the well opened by the old woman's sacrifice fell the jinn, lost forever. Across the darkened hall of the great castle stood the two brothers alone now, seeking in each other's eye a fate yet unresolved.
There are other creatures, brother. The magic carpet I inherited takes me to them at my will.
Yet for now we are alone.
Before you reach the boundaries of my kingdom, they will return. There is no way out for you.
You read it wrong, brother. In the closing of her own door, the old woman opened another. And through it, now there comes a friend.
He has no power here! Keep him back from me! We are brothers, aren't we? This is not a fitting thing to do!
Within the circle of Hamza's dance, Prince Hussein perished solely from himself. The darkness of his life was met and made to vanish. And the Sultan, recognizing the true worth of Ahmed's way and the frailty of his own, renounced his rulership in favor of his younger son, so making a new lord of all the lands. Yet, though Ahmed was willing to accept the lordship, he still dreamed of a distant forest place and of someone not of humankind.
Peri Banu, where do you live now? Your words were true, but I am left alone.
Hamza, a good and constant friend, yet one I never see. All others' lives are changed within your dance. except mine, which stays as it has always been. What is this? Why change the dance?
And arms and meeting lives, now is true harvest made, and from the riches of such store no heart shall hungered be.
Stay close, Peri Banu. Let us not be parted again.
I cannot leave. You have called me as once I did call you, and it is my turn to obey.
So then, it is as I said. Much of what we see is in the mind only. A friend such as Hamza would be a valued friend indeed. To see the inside as the out.
Are we not all, then, a Hamza? To each other? Your wife to you? Her dance made you see yourself as you rightly were.
Have you so soon forgotten, then? She betrayed me. Shahrazad, she caused my feeling.
And where was it before? Did jealousy, revenge, spring into life for no more reason than what she did that time? Or was it more in hiding, shrouded by self-opinion, waiting on hurt to make it face the light of day?
You already know that no one speaks to me like this.
I am condemned to death, my king. That is my freedom. You shall stop it only by putting me away from you.
I would save you if I could. This you know.
There is no reproach. Already 5 dawns have passed.
Whoever attended Hamza's dance became to themselves as clear as honesty. Why not then Ahmed himself? The dance was all around him. He likewise should have changed.
He did see what he was. The same. Inside as out. He had no need of change. He was the sole one fit to rule.
You speak hard, Shahrazad.
Yet only for the sake of what is soft.
She was unfaithful with a slave. A slave. That was my shame.
Shame is a colour we first mix for ourselves and only later use to tarnish others.
Hamza's dance was the 5th in the series of Tales from the Arabian Nights, dramatised from traditional sources by Colin Hayden Evans. The king was Derek Jacobi and Shahrazad Carolyn Backhouse. Prince Ahmed was James Telfer, his father Philip Anthony, Peri Banu Rachel Atkins, the sorceress Mary Wimbush and Hussein Steve Hodson. The music was composed by Sue Harris and played by Sue Harris and Stephen Hannigan. The series was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.